Hello, this is Jesse Liberty, and this is yet another podcast.
Today I have Andrei Kasha, who is from the Ukraine, recently moved to New York City and joined Lab 49, where he's working on WPF applications. He is passionate about WPF and Silverlight, so much so that in his spare time, he's been developing free Silverlight applications, such as his Amazon Books Network visualization tool. Andrei, how are you?
Thank you, Jesse. I'm good. How are you?
I'm very well and glad to have you here. Your visualization tool is at www.yasiv.com, and it's a fascinating tool. It's a little bit hard to describe. I guess the way I would put it is that you type in a topic or a book name or an author, a search is done of Amazon, and then, well, why don't you tell us what happens if you type in a topic?
Yeah, so basically, this topic goes to Amazon API and it queries it. It makes the same search as if you would type it on Amazon itself. So it searches the books, then gets the results from Amazon, picks the first book, and then tries to find similar books to that book.
And then, is it to find similar books?
The similar book is the book which is often bought together with this book by customers at Amazon, right? So then it goes for every similar book and tries to find similar books to them and visualize them in a network or in a graph.
And what you end up with is the first book at the center and then the similar books radiating out from that center.
Yes, this is correct.
And there are lines between each of these books. What do the lines signify?
Lines signify this relationship between two books. So if there is a line between two books, it means they are often bought together. And I think the more lines a book has, the higher its importance. It means it's bought higher with every other book in this subject. So it gives you an answer to what book is the most important book in a given domain or what to read next. So the more lines the book has, the higher its importance.
And let's say you go out and you find book A, and book A is also purchased with book B, so you would draw a line between them.
Yes.
And then book B is also purchased with book C, so now there's a line between B and C.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what happens if you discover that C is also purchased with A? Do you then draw a line between C and A as well?
Yes, absolutely. So every time I see there is a relationship, I draw lines.
And that gives a sense of the strength of the book, that more and more of these associated books are associated with this book.
Yes, absolutely.
So tell us about what went into building that application.
Well, this is a Silverlight application. You said, what went into build this application? You mean how I build it?
Yes, how did you build it, and what did you need to find out, and what did you need to learn, and was it difficult to build? Was it a straightforward process? Tell us the story of building this application.
The project started in 2010. I was invited to a national conference in Ukraine, and I was free to choose any topic. So at that time, I was very passionate about data visualization. So it was like very easy answer to me. And I said, I'll speak about data visualization in Silverlight. And if you're speaking about data visualization, you have to show something, right? And I wanted to create good examples of good visualizations. So I decided to create a visualization of books from Amazon. This is one of the other things that I showed during this conference. And once I visualized it, I had, striking aha moment when I saw how easily I can discover which books has higher importance and which are not. And I realized this is the excellent tool to navigate in the space of books. So, we are very surrounded or overwhelmed with information and books. There are so many exciting technologies around us. HTML5 is coming. So if you're a Silverlight developer or Flash developer, you probably want to learn JavaScript or jQuery. So where do you start? Or if you're a .NET developer, reactive extensions are there. So where do you start there? And this tool is like a navigator in the space of where to start. Or, for example, if you read a book and you really liked it, what would you read next? So one way to discover answer to this question is to go to the web and search, find an expert and ask him, or just find top five or something books in that space. And another way is just go to Amazon and find which books are similar to this book. But Amazon has this view as a flat view, so you don't see the hierarchy of books. And once I visualized it, I realized that this is a good thing to navigate in the space of books.
Yes, and so the project itself makes a great deal of sense, and it serves a number of uses, as you said. So you set out to build this. How long did it take you from the time you had that aha moment until you had it all working?
Well, I worked on this project in my spare time. I couldn't work like 8 hours a day, so I worked like 2 hours each day, and from first line of code to the, well, it's not completed yet, right? You can make it better. Well, there are many ways to improve it. So I think it took around 1 month of pure coding. But before that, I had to learn graph drawing algorithms to draw it nicely. So drawing a graph is the hardest problem of this project. I mean, draw it nicely. Nicely is a hard term to define in terms of programming. You can't say, if graph is drawn nicely, then do something. There is no such term as nice in programming language.
Although it would be a useful addition to the language, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. So we use some metrics like the number of crossings between links, or the distance between two books or two nodes, or symmetry. Symmetry is always good. And trying to minimize the number of crossing or equalize the length of the links in books is a hard problem. There is no straightforward solution to it. So it's from NP class problem. That means there is no linear time to solve the problem. But there is one very good heuristic to use, and it comes from Mother Nature. You just pretend that every book is a physical particle. It's charged with the same sign, and it means they repel each other. And links between two books are springs, so they attract these books. Then you calculate forces acting on each book or each node, and then knowing the forces, you can calculate the speed, and knowing the speed, you can calculate the position. So just applying this straightforward force-based simulation on the books, on the network, or on the graph, gives you nice drawings, nice layouts.
Did you use a physics library, or did you do all this calculation yourself?
I used the physics library, but I wrote it myself. The physics is not very complex here, so it's just two forces. I mean, one force is for node's attraction, and it acts like according to the Hooke's law, and to calculate forces acting on particles, I use Coulomb's law. So just two forces.
You make it sound easy. It sounds to me like there was a fair amount of learning involved in how to design this.
Yes, so you have to be very careful with calculating forces or calculating the solution for Newton's equation to find the speed. So I'm using numeric methods to calculate just the speed. And yeah, also you can optimize the calculation for forces. So to calculate forces acting on each book, it means that you have to go through every single book and calculate forces acting on it from other book. And it means you have square time performance, if it makes sense. And the optimization is not to calculate forces from every book, but calculate forces from books which are near to this book. And the algorithm is called Barnes-Hart simulation. So it uses very, very clever division of the space and calculating only what's important and neglecting everything else. And the performance of this algorithm is like O, big O of N log N, which is good.
Now, you've made this application freely available. Are you also making the source code to the application available?
The source code is not yet available. What I'm doing right now, I'm reading graph drawing libraries for library for Silverlight and .NET, and I'm planning to make this library open source. But I don't want to make this application open source because I'm using private keys from Amazon, so it doesn't make sense to unveil this information. But the graph drawing libraries should be open source, I believe.
What's your estimate about when that library will be available?
I'm working on it in my free time, so it's hard to tell the real estimates, but I'm planning to complete it till November. Currently I have, well, what's built inside this application is just very pragmatic solution. I made some shortcuts, which makes it not very reusable. And right now I'm doing a lot of refactorings, a lot of optimization in the library. So, yeah.
Now, I understand that you also built a mind mapping tool. Is that, do I have that right?
Yes. The mind mapping tool, we wrote it with my friends. I wrote the Silverlight part, and two of my friends wrote the rest, like ASP.NET MVC backend, and we had a graphic designer. So the mind mapping is another tool, and it's also free.
And this is at vivamind.net, vivamind.net.
Yes, vivamind.net. There are actually many mind mapping tools out there, but, you know, we try to solve one particular problem in mind mapping. So if you draw a mind map, it's really good learning technique to draw mind maps based on books, for example, or anything could be mind map. But the significant drawback of this drawing is that it makes sense only for you. If you want to share it with somebody else, it starts losing the context. And this is the main problem that we tried to solve. So we decided to let every node on the mind map to present itself. So we let users to put any content behind the node and make it like a mini presentation.
So each node has an extensive note associated with it.
Kind of. So you can drill down to the node and see the presentation of this node.
All right. What I find when I'm drilling down on your site is that some of them bring up quotes and some of them look like they bring up images or videos.
Yeah, this is simple mind maps. I think they just didn't make more slides to the node. But if you go to WPF documentation samples mind map, there are many slides in every node. So it can show the aspect of the node from different angles.
So your mind maps have more depth within each node than a typical mind map would have. Is that a fair statement?
Yes, it's a fair statement. And we also plan to make it like everything that could be displayed on the web could be embedded to the node.
So I went to on your main page, there's an index. I went to programming. Within programming, I went and grabbed WPF documentation. And as I go into this documentation, for example, off of samples, there's graphic, and off of graphic, there's transformations. And if I click on the arrow in transformations, then I get details that not only explain what you're talking about, but offer a download and links to other information.
Yes, yes. So the main idea for this mind mapping site was to improve your notes taken when you read books again. So for example, when you're studying algorithms, right? And you read Corman and company. And for say you start in sorting algorithms, you can create a mind map of sorting algorithms and describe every aspect of the sorting algorithm. But for example, you can insert a video explaining a bubble sort behind the bubble sort node. Or you can insert the code into the same node and see how it works in terms of code. Or you can insert an article or a link. So it gives you more views on the same problem.
So let me switch on you slightly and ask you how you came to have such a passion for building Silverlight WPF applications that you're not only doing it in your full-time job, but also in your spare time.
That's an interesting question. I think I'm just addicted to this. You know, the Silverlight is very good platform, despite of the fact that somebody predicts not good times for it in the nearest future. I truly love it because it allows to make complex things very easily and create very powerful visualizations. So I really love it.